Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the iTricks Magic Weekend Review. Once again in the pilot seat, this is Michael Lauk. I'm excited about this week. I got a guy. I saw this guy first years ago, not in a magic show per se, not on television, but at the circus where he was. You were the Zing Master, right? Took my kids to the circus. And that if that's not setting off alarm bells to everybody, it is Alex Ramon, who I just also saw at the IBM SAM convention, where you received the Milbourne Christopher Award. Am I right about that?
Yes, I did. That's a great intro at the circus. It wasn't a magic show per se. That's true. It was the greatest show on earth with a magical flair. Good to talk to you, and good seeing you at the convention, the IBM SAM. I received the Milbourne Christopher Award, and I mean, it was for the Illusionist Award, and wow, what an honor, you know. I mean, I'm now able to join a group of guys, just a handful of magicians ever received this Illusionist Award, and when you look at the names in there, it's like these are like, you know, people that I respect and admire, and to be even mentioned amongst these other magicians of the past and the present, really, just these greats, it's an honor.
All of that, and honestly, if I was working a door somewhere, I would card you before I let you in a club. You're not an old guy. You're a young guy.
You know what? That's funny. That's funny you say that. Actually, I'm the youngest to ever receive the Milbourne Christopher Illusionist Award. There's only been about 20 guys in history. And, you know, you have Siegfried and Roy, Harry Blackstone Jr., David Copperfield, Lance Burton, Jeff McBride, amongst, you know, the others. And I'm the youngest, so that's an honor as well. But thanks. I hope that sticks with me. I like getting carded. Basically, it's more useful.
Yeah, well, you know, hey. And you do a lot of, at least at this convention, you were connecting a lot with the young people that were there. You know, of course, the National SAM always starts with is it officially the Lance Burton Young Magician Seminar?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, how that began, and actually I was the very first, teen seminar that Lance was a part of. And this was back in 2003, Lance Burton always had a contest. He had the Lance Burton Teen Contest, part of the Desert Magic Seminar that then became the World Magic Seminar. And in 2003, Lance sponsored this weekend just for teens, and he had Jeff McBride and Eugene do their master class, and Bill and Becky Wells organized this wonderful seminar just for the teenage magicians. And I was a part of it. I was the very first time they did that. They've been doing that ever since, and then now that the World Magic Seminar is no longer going on, Becky Wells has moved it to in relations to the IBM convention. So they asked me, Becky Wells asked me, as well as Jeff McBride and Lance, to come and be a part of this teen seminar, which was so cool because just a few years ago, 10 years ago now, I was, you know, I was a teenager and going to this seminar. Now I get to talk with, you know, these young magicians that I can, you know, give advice, or if they have any questions about performing and touring and being a magician, I can do my best to steer them in the right direction and help in any way that I can. So throughout the convention, quite a few young guys were coming up to me asking and keeping in touch and, you know, Facebook messaging me and tweeting and everything else. So, you know, it's such a great thing. I mean, before I told the story that when I was a teenager, I didn't want other teenagers and kids to learn magic because I just wanted it to have as my own secret for myself, you know, like, man, you know, no magic trick, then it's the secret's out, you know. But now it's just so cool and inspiring to see other, you know, people get excited about magic.
Yeah, and it seemed like it's a good group of kids too. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with any of the formal stuff with right. the young magicians, but just having them around. I mean, I deal with kids, you know, on yeah. an ancillary, on a regular basis. My wife's a teacher, so
right. you know, yeah, yeah.
I have a girl, you know, two girls who are middle school, high school age. So, you know, I deal with kids on a regular basis, and everybody there, you know, all those kids there running around, and you know, yeah, they were kids, but you know, they weren't obnoxious. They weren't, you know, there was none of yeah. that kind of bad stereotype, well, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great to see, you know, you know, and these are the future of magic, and these young generations coming out to these conventions that are big deals, and they get to see old pros and work with, you know, this invaluable time that they get to spend with, you know, Lance Burton and Jeff McBride, Eugene Berger, amongst, you know, all the others. And, you know, it's pretty cool. So they're smart kids, and, you know, I'm impressed because, you know, I look at, you know, some of these kids and go, wow, man, I wasn't that good when I was your age. You know, you guys are surpassing rather quickly, you know, what I was doing at your age. So it's impressive in that way. So yeah, I mean, whether they're just starting and teenagers, or even if you're getting started in magic at 50, man, you know, ask questions and learn. And I'm at the point where it's like, hey, if I can help and give advice in any way, I'd love to do that. So I was able to at this convention, and it was pretty cool. Right. Very rewarding, you know what I mean, in a different way. And it's totally different doing that as opposed to just performing magic shows. This is actually giving back to the community that we belong to, that magic community.
Yeah, and from my observation, too, you're not, at the same time, you're not strutting around like you're the expert, man. You're still so open and so, you know, you did I guess a lot of people wouldn't know because they weren't there, but you premiered some of your illusions for your current tour,
right?
And I know you had just the most minor of technical problems with
with a
light up hoop that didn't light up, and you know, people kept coming up to you, like, you know, that would have been so much better if the hoop light lit up, and you weren't like, dude, I know, come on. I mean, it was just, you were so open and so like thankful for people wanting to help, which is an awesome thing to see in any performer at any age.
Oh, thank you. You know, that's so funny. I mean, I decided to debut my illusion called Acoustic Levitation is what we call it. And Jim Steinmeier and I worked together on creating this. And it was, I mean, to be honest, it took about 2 years to figure out how to do it. And it was a combination of methods, and it was also, you know, effects, and it was a production value. I mean, in my show, there's a lot of moments where you scratch your head and you go, wow, how did he do that? And that's great. But what I wanted to do, and I told Jim, is I just wanted something really cool. Just something really cool. And so we talked about it for about a year, just off and on, and sketches went back and forth. And finally, we had it fabricated, and then I was rehearsing it for I don't know, about 10 months, you know, off and on, and really started working on it hard right before St. Louis, because I decided I wanted to premiere and debut Acoustic Levitation at the IBM SAM convention. And when I said that to some friends of mine, magician friends, they're like, oh my gosh, aren't you nervous with that? And I was like, no, like, this is the perfect audience to debut a new illusion to. Magicians, because they're part, you know, you're together, you're a team, you're, you know, the same, like I said, you're magicians, your community, you're the camaraderie there. And they're not trying to, yes, if it fools you, that's great, but I'm not trying to fool you, I'm trying to get it better. And you guys can give suggestions. So during the performance, after I debuted it, and we opened the show with Acoustic Levitation, and I said, hey, that's brand new, you're the very first audience to ever see that, you have any thoughts, let me know. And I had magicians say, wow, I thought that was so cool. You said that to us instead of just going, oh, well, this is new. And yeah, so we have a hoop, an LED hoop. I mean, it was the most bizarre thing. My assistant's floating in the air, and we have EL wire throughout our costumes, and so we're glowing. And then I have a hoop that's a solid hoop that has LEDs around it, and I do a hoop pass with this LED hoop while she's floating in the air about 8 feet, 7, 8 feet in the air. And, well, it didn't light up. And what I found out when I got home and I opened it up is that a wire broke. And somewhere from in the wings when I checked it and it lit up to 2 minutes to when we actually performed it, the wire broke. Because, you know, right in the wings, I tested it, it lit up, and then, you know, then it didn't in the performance. But that's, you know, that's going to happen. And, you know, I make sure that to rewire it, give it extra slack, and I'm not really sure why it broke, but I know it's not going to happen again now.
I have a heavy electronics background. And
yeah.
I've done engineering work. I've been a high end guitar amplifier technician to bands like The Who and The Rolling Stones and for a major manufacturer and everything. And when you said, the hoop's supposed to light up with LEDs, I was like, that was probably the simplest of all the crap lit up and going on in that illusion. That was probably the simplest piece, and boom, it goes out.
I know. You know what's so funny is, you know, and this, like I said, in you know, our costumes, halfway through the routine, we go into a blackout, and like I said, our costumes are lit up. For the listeners, to kind of describe the effect, our costumes light up in ELY, my system floats way up in the air, and then I have their speakers on stage, and basically the premise of the concert is she's floating on sound waves. So the sound is what's kind of, you know, keeping her afloat. And so then there's LEDs all over the speakers. It's a big light show, really, in the middle of this levitation, which is pretty cool. And somebody afterwards came up to me and said that as you had mentioned, he said, that hoop's supposed to light up, huh? And this was like in the lobby of the hotel after the night, that night after we loaded out. And I said, yes, it is. He goes, I knew it. He's like, I knew it. Me and my wife got in this argument about it. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, we got in this argument about it. And I said, why? How? And he said, well, my wife, at the end of that routine, she kind of turned to me and said, you know, it would have been better if that hoop lit up. And I said, honey, it's supposed to. And she said, well, how do you know? She says, well, because it's supposed to. It is. And she said, but you don't know that. He's like, yes. And he said, we got in this little argument. And finally, I had to say, honey, if he wouldn't have thought of all of that and then decided, nah, we don't have to light the hoop up. And so it just made me laugh, and we started laughing. So it was just really... it's hilarious because, yeah, there's so much going on, and the simplest thing didn't happen. In fact, actually, I did have the phone with Jim Steinmeier before we spoke, and yesterday I just averted a crisis right before the show. We're about to open doors, and my costume didn't light up because we're checking the battery packs, and everything's wired individually. You know, my shoes and the glasses and, you know, the sleeves and the,
yeah,
everything.
And just let me say real quick, for people who don't know, when you're talking about the wiring in your costume, if you've ever seen, like, an Illuminate or any of those dance groups,
right,
that's what Alex has going on while he's doing this illusion. For him, right, and his assistant, it's very cool looking.
Yeah, and you know what it was when I first came up, when I first thought of this, is I saw those acts before, and I mean, they've been around for years, ever since the EL Wire's been around, and it's always really cool and really neat, and I'm just at the point where I want to combine different theatricalities, different, you know, things, and production with magic and illusions, and so, in doing it this way, you're using really neat technology and really neat production value, and combining it with these illusions and fusing them together, which is pretty neat and original. So, you know, that's what we're doing. So, yeah, so yesterday at the show, right before doors, my costume wasn't, you know, working. So I carry my soldering kit, as you will know, with me, and I had to, like, rewire and kind of snap and reconnect something, you know, was just wrong. And I had to do it right as doors are opening. And, you know, it's one of those things that... Got to be on top of all the time.
It definitely. I mean, you know,
People have been posting some photos because I've been doing it in the show. So, I mean, if you search around, my show is called New Magic, and if you search any, like, hashtag New Magic and some photos, you can see it. I haven't released a video yet. A lot of people have been asking. I just got some emails saying, hey, are you going to post video of this levitation yet? And, you know, it's still a new process, like I said. I mean, we just debuted it not that long ago, so I want to, you know, get all the kinks out, really make it smooth, do it for a few more audiences, and then, you know, maybe we will.
But if people want to learn more about your tour, great time for the website.
Yeah. I'm on a tour, doing a West Coast tour this year. We have Northern California this summer. So let's see. We just did Modesto yesterday. We have Vacaville on July 27th. We have Livermore on August the 10th, Marin in August 17th, and then in L.A. We're going to be doing L.A. in early November in North Hollywood, and then we'll be at the Magic Castle. We're doing a week in the Palace at the Magic Castle, and then coming back up to Northern California and Walnut Creek in December, and then maybe hitting Vegas. We're still trying to work this out. We might be hitting Vegas in December.
Nice.
So might do like a month run there. And then the Pacific Northwest, the dates have not been confirmed yet, will be early next year. But, it's going really great. And so if you want to check it out, yeah, go to my website. It's alexramonemagic.com. You Google Alex Ramone, you'll find, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I'm pretty active and engaging on social media. And so you'll find me, Alex Ramone. You'll Google me. You'll get me.
Yeah, and it's R-A-M-O-N, in case anybody wants to throw an E on there.
Yes, no E, like the band, no E.
Now, the show, I've only seen the little kind of taste of it you did during a larger show at the IBM Sam. Now, everything you did that night, it struck me later, everything I saw you do in a broad but not too broad context, I probably could have seen somebody like Thurston do 100 years ago. But updated and awesome and new. Is that what your whole – I mean, is that like the point of your act?
Well, no. It's funny that you say that because I know why you say that, because I do a little throwback to the history of magic. And yes, I mean, I guess to a point that is accurate.
And let me say, I said that with awe and respect. It's not a.
Oh no! I know, I know exactly what you're saying. And yes, I mean, basically, what I'm performing are illusions that have not been touched. That guys like Guy Jarrett wrote about in his book, and no magician illusionist has ever done them. And it's kind of funny because you think, wow, like this guy wrote about these back in, the 20s and the 30s, and how come they've never been done? And of course, by bringing them up to date, magic doesn't, magicians, we see a lot of magic shows, so we might think that, things are played and tired, but the audience has had it. So what was cool is that magicians have heard of these effects because they associate them with guys like Thurston and Jarrett, but they've never seen them. You know what I mean? So they have that throwback feel, which is really cool, but we're just bringing them, to now and updating the premise and presenting, I should say, not the premise, but the presentation. So that's pretty cool. So you're right. I mean, there's another illusion in there, so that we call Toccata for Light Bulb. It's a Jim Steinmeier creation, and it uses a principle in magic that was invented in the 1800s.
And
it's just amazing.
And that is one of the greatest live illusions I've ever seen.
Thank you.
I don't even want to talk about how it was, because people won't believe me.
I filmed this thing. Okay, so this illusion is, normally when you see a magician, they cover, they're going to make something disappear. They have to cover it with a cloth. There's some big something that they have to do to hide something. And this illusion is a we make a lit light bulb. I make a lit light bulb vanish, but it's completely out in the open. It's not covered with anything, and it's just a series of amazing visuals and illusions that, you know, just compound, and they just make the whole routine better and better and better. So basically, a lit light bulb vanishes inside of the paper, and then it's inside of a paper bag, and it's then at the very end, the paper bag is actually inside of the light bulb, and it's a really the sequence. You just have to come see the show and check it out. But essentially, you know, this was invented. This principle and concept was invented, you know, over 100 years ago, and Jim Steinmeier was able to figure out how to make it updated. So, yeah, and that's back to what you were saying, is that we were, and he came up with the concept and created it, and then we worked together on this presentation. And it looks like, I filmed it one time because people wanted to see it, and I filmed it, and I have a video of it, but it looks like a camera trick. It looks like if I uploaded it on YouTube, all I would get all day long is, oh, it's a camera trick, it's a camera trick, it's an edit, it's a video edit. And it isn't. It just, it looks, even in real life, you know, it looks like a camera trick. And so we do that one in my show, New Magic. We have a new presentation with a crystal casket, with a crystal box. I borrowed a guy's cell phone, which is a pretty neat presentation. It's an original presentation. I was inspired by Mark Kalin. Mark Kalin had this concept, and I had a similar concept, and Jim kind of told me about Kalin's, and we discussed it, and so now we're doing a concept that Kalin came up with a cell phone, which is pretty cool. So again, it's going back. Oh, and then I did the illusion with the iPad. So, you know, we're trying to update it, like using cell phones and iPads and EL wire and lights and, you know, but redressing anything that is maybe, you know, older and in the past and making it new again, hence New Magic.
Yeah, and it was very cool, and I think this is a great spot for us to take a quick break. Once again, if anybody wants to try to catch up with Alex's show, it's alexroanmagic.com. And we will catch up with Alex right after this.
iTricks.com.
If you have been reading along iTricks lately, you are undoubtedly aware that Joni Spina, who has been an invaluable asset to the magic community the last few years, is having some medical difficulties and could really use some help. If you have been looking for a way that you can help, we are pleased to pass along that until at least the end of July, PayPal donations are being accepted for Joni at registrar@ibmsam.com. So that's just PayPal to registrar, registrar, @ibmsam.com. Now, make sure that you put donation or Joni Spina or something like that in the comments. That was the account to take registrations for the convention. And now that that's over, I don't imagine anything else is coming in, but better to be safe than sorry.
iTricks.com.
And we're back. Thanks for not switching that podcast dial while we were gone. It's Michael Lauk here on the iTricks Magic Week in Review with Alex Ramone. Now, we talked about your show, and it's a cool show. Everybody should definitely catch it if they can. You should try to get yourself off the West Coast and out into the rest of the country.
I know. I'm working on it.
But let's talk about you for a second. I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people aren't going to know who you are yet. And yet you've got some big shows behind you. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, I saw you in the Ringling Brothers magic themed circus tour they did a couple years ago. It was Zing Zang Zoom. Right. That's what that was, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then you did that for 2 years maybe?
Yeah, 2 years. And then prior to that, I toured with Disney for 3 years. You know, it's kind of funny because in the span of, you know, 5 years, I performed live for over 5 million people. And, you know, that's live. It wasn't – that did not include, you know, appearances on, you know, The View and The Early Show and all the, you know, local television and national and international television. That was live. And so people – I guess know me, but don't know that they know me. How about that? So, yeah, I mean, I toured, I guess I got my early start when I was a teenager. I saw a card trick from a coworker of my dad's. His name was Paul Brown. He showed me a card trick. I was blown away. I'd never seen a magic show before. I'd never seen a circus. I never really saw any theater or anything. And saw that magic trick, and I was hooked. I was like, well, I have to know how that happened. That happened. How did he do that? And my dad bought me a magic book when I was about 13 years old. And then it began as a hobby. And actually, I didn't want to perform. I didn't want to be a magician. As I mentioned earlier, like, I liked it as a hobby, and I didn't want other people to know. So I had friends that didn't know that I did magic tricks and magic shows, and that was even in junior high and high school. And then, you know, I started competing, and then I did start performing, and it just took off. You know, it kind of organically became my career, and it was always my passion ever since I began, and it took me around the world. I won some awards in the World Magic Seminar, did some variety shows, Disney and circus, and then I had my own show in Lake Tahoe for about 2.5 years. And, you know, now we're on tour.
There you go. See, it's just that easy, kids.
Yeah, that's thousands and thousands of shows and thousands of hours of practice and work. I think that, you know, if you find anything, and in my case, it was magic, and you're passionate about it, and you work hard, you know, you can turn it into your career. That's the best way to do it, you know. And if magic doesn't become your career, it can be an amazing hobby the rest of your life. So, you know, either way, magic is a great thing, and the magic community is a great thing to be a part of. So I was actually really happy when we spoke, and you're like, oh, I want to talk. I'm from iTrix. And I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, totally iTrix, you know. Like, I've been... I was like, yeah, well, that's so cool for me to be able to be a part of it, be on the podcast.
Well, no, we're glad to have you on board. Thanks for talking with us. Do you remember what that first magic book was?
Oh, yeah, of course. I still have it. It is Mark Wilson's Complete Course in Magic.
Dude,
that was my first magic
book.
Dude,
you're so... Was that just dumb luck that your dad bought you one of, like, the best beginner's textbooks ever?
Well... You know what? I live and I grew up right outside of San Francisco. So there is an amazing magic shop in San Francisco called Misdirections Magic Shop. I got to tell you, it's one of the best I've ever been to. Joe Pond is the owner. He just knows his stuff and just is great. So my dad went in there. I didn't know. My dad went in there by himself and said, hey, my kid's interested in magic. He's 13. You know, he doesn't really, he has a deck of cards and he's been shuffling them, but I didn't really know any card tricks yet, you know, maybe a new one. And Joe recommended this magic book, and that kind of gave me my start, and I absorbed it. You know, I learned everything in it. I read it cover to cover, and I just kept going back. And my dad's a driver, so he's a courier and a truck driver, so he had a route that would circle the entire Bay Area. So we would start in Oakland, we'd go down to San Jose, go up the peninsula to San Francisco, and he had about, you know, 2 or 3 deliveries in San Francisco, so he would drop me off. And so I'd go with him every weekend on a route, and he would drop me off for about 20 or 30 minutes at Misdirections on Saturdays. And he would go do some deliveries and then come back with the truck and bop, 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 and I'd have to run out after staying in the magic shop for a few minutes. And then I'd try and buy a new trick every time. Every week I tried to get a new trick, you know, for $10 or $15. And that was my schooling, my magic schooling, is going to Misdirections.
Well, yeah, you know, shops, man, you're on the younger end of it, of course. And now the shops are kind of disappearing, but I know,
yeah,
you know, we've talked about that. Like, your first magic book, that's always a big one. And then, you know, your magic shop, you know, I used to go to Gene DeVoe's, magic shop here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it's, I love the internet. Obviously I'm not anti-internet as we're doing a podcast.
Podcast.
I mean, You know, you are hard pressed at any time to find me not wired to the rest of the world with, you know, my phone and my iPad and whatever else. But
there's
buying, like, I'm getting ready to put together a show now. So I'm looking for some stuff. And it's a show like I've never done before. So I need different. It's a kid's show. Never done a kid's show, right?
Yeah.
So I need new props.
Yeah.
And it's and I'm going through the internet and I'm hating it.
You know,
I want to go somewhere. And totally.
Totally. You know, I mean, I totally know what you're talking about. And it's one of those things, you just, if you're a magician and you're listening to this and you have never been in a magic shop, look, even if you have to travel a couple hours just to go into one, just do it, because there's something magical, there's something exciting about going into a real magic shop, a storefront, an actual location, not just browsing on the internet. Now, most of the things in this magic shop nowadays, you'll be familiar with because you've seen them on the internet, you know? But it's just really fun to be able to go into a shop and just have that, you know, real-life experience with it, as opposed to just looking at it, you know, through Google. And I love the internet too. And like I had said earlier, I'm really connected. But I remember, and this is something that you cannot get from the internet. And the thing about the internet, and you got to be careful about, is that every commercial for every trick on YouTube looks amazing. Like the trick, they cut a commercial, and that's their job. You know, it's like selling a product, you know, on TV, not a magic trick, but, you know, hey, look, whatever it is, you know, you want to be the best. And, you know, all these tricks look amazing, but it's also another thing to go into a magic shop. And I would watch Joe Pond do the floating bill, okay? I have really strong memories of this. And I'd see people would come in, and this is after I'd been in the magic, and it happened to me, because he did the floating bill for me, the floating dollar bill for me, when I was a teenager and I bought the trick, and, you know. But I think it's so funny to be able to see this live. And someone come into the shop and say, oh, you know, what's this, what's that? And then he would say, do you have a dollar bill? It's like, yes, I do. He goes, okay. And he crumples it in the ball, floats it up in the air, you know, comes down, and he says, okay, that's the floating bill. And, you know, there's this envelope, you know, it's this little package envelope. It's, you know, it's $20. You can learn how to do that. And you see people kind of not understand what he means. And I remember asking him when he did that for me, he goes, there's a floating bill, you know, it's $20 or whatever. And I said, wait a second. In this envelope, I can make something float. He's like, yeah, anywhere. But, you know, I mean, there's it's a trick, so there are things, and he kind of talks through it, but you just didn't get it. And it's so funny to be able to see that. So if you go into a magic shop and you see a demonstrator do a trick for someone, a lay audience, it's just so fun, because they're in there with a different intention than what you see on YouTube. YouTube now, you do a trick, and everybody freaks out, and they go, whoa, crazy, you know, and it's, you know, it's not, well, I mean, that's a different topic, but it's just going into the magic shop. And I guess I'm going on different tangents now, but you got to go to a magic shop. If you're in San Francisco, go to Misdirections, and there's magic shops all over the place. That's definitely
true. You know, and one other thing, just not to beat the magic horse topic to death, but I never bought a trick at a magic shop and been disappointed in the way that sometimes you buy stuff from the internet, because I think everybody's done this. You buy a trick and realize that it's a prop you already have, just used in a different way. But the thing is, when you've seen it at the magic shop, when you've seen it demonstrated, you know for a fact, no matter how shabby and sad and mundane the stuff that just fell out of your plastic Ziploc bag, you know, is, you know what it can do. And on the internet, you're never quite sure, you know?
That's why I'm saying, like, you can't, you know, every video looks like the trick is great. And it's supposed to, because that's the job of the magic trick, you know, and the advertising and making a video for it. But, you know, videos still cut away, and they, you know, I remember seeing this amazing video, okay? And of this trick. And I go, that is the most magical trick I've ever seen in my life. I bought it. And the commercial still fooled me, because as I learned and I was practicing, I kept thinking, you know, the image that I ended up with, the commercial that I had in mind, going, well, there's no way. This commercial, it was so much smoother than this. And in fact, I had to replay the commercial, and I realized that I fell victim to a cut. And it wasn't, it didn't mean that, you know, it required special angles, but they cut out a significant, like, get ready move that cannot be avoided. So, like, when you have to about to do this effect and do this flight with a gimmick, there's some kind of move that you have to do that you can't not do. And in the commercial, they just take that out because that's a flaw in the routine. Doesn't mean that it's any less magical when you see it in the video. But, like, in real life, you kind of go, well, you can't do this. So the good thing about magic now, the Internet and YouTube, and magic tricks that are being developed, there are magic tricks specifically designed for video that didn't really exist, you know, even 10 years ago, you know, almost even 5 years ago, because it's just getting so much more popular. And so that is now just a new genre of magic, just like cardistry is now a genre of magic. And there are amazing people that just do XCM and cardistry and all these flourishes that, and they're not even magicians, you know, but this whole, you know, group of guys and people pique this interest in me, and they go into that. Now there's a genre of magic where, you know, it's just video and just YouTube, because you can't do it for real people anywhere else, you know? So, I mean, it kind of depends on what you want. If you're interested in that, great. But if you're, you know, interested in performing, you know, just be aware of it and go find a magic shop.
Yeah, find a bed, definitely, definitely. I end up, when I want to go to a magic shop, I end up having to drive basically across state right now to Kansas City. And luckily my wife grew up in Kansas City, and for years her parents lived there. They don't live there anymore. And
let's go visit your parents, honey.
we would go all the time anyway, especially once we had kids. We live next door to my mom, so we got a lot of guilt. You know, so we'd go over there at least once a month, but yeah, you know, that's still, there's this absence of a really good magic store where I live here in St. Louis. Cause think about it. You were in St. Louis. Did anybody mention the local magic store? Did you see the booth?
Oh, no.
Cause there really isn't one, and it sucks. It is a terrible thing. And, I understand there's one now about an hour or so away in Illinois that one of these weekends I'm going to trek out and check out because it's not just an old man thing where you don't like the internet. Because, dude, I've bought stuff on Amazon Prime to avoid getting up and going to the store. I've been like, hey, man.
I can wait totally. A day. You know? It's not embracing about, you know, not say, oh, well, the new YouTube that's bad for magic. No, no, no. Everything's good for magic. It's just different now. And it's just kind of going, you know, an experience. It's like going to a carnival or a local fair for the first time. You know, you want to ride on that. You want to go through the fun house. You want to ride on that dragon roller coaster that's just for kids. You know, it's like you have to have that first experience. And unfortunately, they're not as available as they used to be. To the younger generation. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, what we're talking about. Not necessarily that, oh, no, the internet's bad for magic. No, it's good. It's elevated so many people's performance, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I actually just said this at the seminar, see, because Lance Burton and Jeff McBride were there, and Eugene, and I was saying to these kids, I go, look, you know, the gigs that Jeff and Lance did when they were our age or my age and your age don't exist anymore. You know, there's no more nightclub scene where you can perform in nightclubs and do five different nightclubs doing, you know, entertainment and magic at them like there used to be. There aren't production shows and variety shows in Vegas that you can try and be an act in anymore. You know, like those shows don't exist. The Follies Rogere that Lance worked for 12 years from when he was in his early 20s, you know, or it's like 12 or 11 years, maybe even more, you know, those shows don't exist anymore. So, you know, you have to find, but what does exist, some people can make a living just uploading and doing YouTube videos, you know? So now that is available to you. So that did not exist for them, but exists for us. So you kind of just have to, you know, go with the times and see what works, and, you know, everything's going to change, and just, you know, go back to the, like, you know, say, go back to the old stuff and try and make it new. And it's what I did with June, and I think it'll work out, you know.
Yeah, now we are quickly running out of time, and I don't want to take up all your time, because I know you're busy, you're running around with
you have to rewire some life.
Yeah, you have to break out the multimeter. It's a big day. But one thing I did want to ask you is, other than participating in the Magic Club, the Magic Conventions, that route, since becoming a performer and realizing that performing is what you want to do, how else have you trained? Have you studied dance? I notice you're always moving, and maybe you're just a natural dancer, but, you know, Have you studied dance? Have you studied acting? That's you done anything else like that? You know,
that's a really good question. The answer is no. I'm not, it's kind of funny. People ask me all the time after they see my performance, if I'm a dancer, if I trained, you know, and then the thing is, no, I've never taken a dance class in my life. I naturally move, you know, well in the way I move. It's a strength of mine, that, you know, so the answer is no. I've never taken any acting classes. I did some acting when I was a kid, but it really is more like extra work. It wasn't really like I was acting. I was just kind of in the background. As far as vocal training, I worked with vocal coaches when I was on the circus. I've kind of, you know, at that time, being in, as you saw, Ringling Brothers Circus, we're playing in, you know, giant arenas like at Staples Center and Madison Square Garden, you know, that, you know, you have to be very mindful of your voice and really try and preserve it and do your best to do your correct vocal exercises. So I worked with some vocal coaches for that show. But no, I mean, I really didn't do any other training to enhance performance. I just tried to study magic and just be a magician. You know, I mean, Marvin Roy, Mr. Electric, he gave some, you know, his advice was always get back to the magic. He said, take only what you need to know in these other disciplines and get back to the magic. You're a magician. So, you know, I'm not going to take unlimited dance classes or vocal classes or theater classes because, you know, I'm not an actor. I'm not a singer and I'm not a dancer. I'm a magician. If I can use those other theatricalities to enhance my performance, I want to do it as best I can. So maybe a little training along the way will be good. But for me, I have never done that. Personally, doesn't mean that you shouldn't, but that's just my opinion on the subject.
Well, great. I think that's a good way to tie up the show then, man. Thank you
cool.
for sitting down with us. Thank you for talking to all our listeners. You want to throw out the website one more time?
Yeah. Hey man. I mean, like I said, I'm really engaging on social media. So if you want to connect, find me on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram. Twitter's at Alex Ramone Magic and Instagram at Alex Ramone. My website is alexramonemagic.com. Facebook me, Google, you'll find me. And you know, let me know if you listen to this and you have a question for me, let me know, or I might have a question for you. So, you know, connect with me on all those platforms, and hopefully we'll meet each other in person like you and I did just recently again. So, yeah, keep in touch. You know, magic community is a small world, and reaching out and making those connections, that's what's great about the internet.
Hey, man, I'll send you my friend request later today.
All right. Yeah, man, we're not even friends. Whatever, man. How we do this interview, we're not even friends on Facebook.
I totally will. I totally will send it.
And, cool, man.
And we'll also, you know, keep everybody informed about what you have going on as we see things along the way. So, once again, thank you, Alex, and everybody out there listening, thank you for sitting down with us. And as always, until next week, to keep informed of what's going on in the world of magic, just visit us every day at itricks.com.